some more provisions relating to client accounts opened by professional intermediaries. Bank should, at their discretion, rely on the customer due diligence done by an intermediary, provided the intermediary is a regulated and supervised entity and has adequate system in place to comply with the KYC requirements of the customer. The ultimate responsibility for knowing the customer has to be with the regulated entity. So finally, the regulated entity cannot shift his responsibility. Ultimate responsibility will be with him only. Now, what are the norms for self-help groups, SHGs? CDD of all members of the SHG need not be required while opening the saving account of the SHG. CDD of the office bearers only should suffice. So this is the simplified version of KYC. No separate CDD of the members or office bearers who should be necessary at a time of credit linking of SHG once complete KYC is already done. Procedure to be followed by banks for opening account of foreign students. So foreign students will have some different procedures compared to Indian students. Banks should open a non-resident account, NRO account, of a foreign student on the basis of his passport with visa and immigration endorsement, bearing the proof of identity and address in the home country, together with the photograph and a letter of offer which conveys admission from the educational institution in India. So this is sufficient information for opening account, especially of a foreign student, which covers all his identity as well as the purpose for which he is coming. Account should be treated as a normal NRO account and should be operated in terms of Reserve Bank of India's instructions on non-resident ordinary rupee account and the provisions of FEMA 1999. Some more provisions applicable for opening of account of a foreign student: a declaration about the local address should be obtained within a period of 30 days of opening of account, and a said local address has to be verified. Next important, pending verification of address, the account should be operated with a condition of allowing foreign remittances not exceeding US$1,000 or equivalent to the account, and with a cap of ₹50,000 on aggregate in the sum during the 30-day period. So this is a monetary cap also on his account. Students with Pakistani nationality require prior approval of Reserve Bank of India for opening the account. Now let us look at the KYC norms, simplified KYC norms for foreign portfolio investors. Accounts of foreign portfolio investors which are eligible registered as per SEBI guidelines for the purpose of investment under portfolio investment scheme should be opened by accepting KYC documents as detailed by the Reserve Bank of India, subject to income tax, FATCA, CRS rules, etc. Banks should obtain undertaking from FPIs or the global custodian acting on behalf of the FPI that as and when required, the exempted documents as detailed are submitted. Now friends, let us move to the third element of KYC, which is the monitoring of transactions. We have seen there is importance for customer acceptance policy. Equally, the customer identification policy is important. Likewise, monitoring of transactions and risk management, the other two elements of KYC policies, are also important. So let us see what are the requirements in case of monitoring of transactions. Ongoing monitoring is an essential element of effective KYC procedure. Banks can effectively control and reduce their risk only if they have an understanding of the normal and reasonable activity of the customer, so that they have the means of identifying transactions that fall outside the regular pattern of the activity. And that is the very essence of understanding first the customer, understanding the activities of the customer. And once you understand the activities, you will automatically understand the flow of transactions that should be happening in the account. And if there is any deviation, if there is any different patterns that is established, then that should give rise to suspicion. That is a very important basis of monitoring of transaction. However, the extent of monitoring will depend upon the risk sensitivity of the account. We have already seen for high risk customers, the intensity will be higher. Low risk customer, intensity will be lower. How should bank monitor transaction based on KYC guidelines? Bank should pay special attention to complex, unusually large transactions and all unusual patterns which have no apparent economic or visible lawful purpose. Banks may prescribe threshold limits for a particular category of accounts and pay particular attention to the transactions which exceeds this limit. Transactions that involve large amount of cash inconsistent with the normal and expected activity of the customer should particularly attract the attentions of the bank. So this is again, once again, highlighting the need of actually monitoring suspicious, unusual and complex transactions. Here, there is a very, very important provision. What happens if the customer is not cooperating for submitting his KYC documents? What happens if the documents required for establishing the diligence, due diligence of the customer is inadequate? What right does a bank have? Where the bank is unable to apply appropriate KYC measures due to the non-furnishing of information and non-cooperation by the customer, bank should consider closing of account. Bank can go to that extent or terminating the banking business relationship. But there is a requirement before closing, and that requirement is issuing due notice to the customer, explaining him the reasons for taking such a decision. So if the customer wants to improve, he has an option to improve. If the customer wishes to remain as is, the inadequacy remains, the non-cooperation remains, then the bank can take decision to close or terminate the relationship, and such decisions has to be taken at a reasonably senior level. So some important official of the bank, senior official of the bank, actually looks into the matter, looks into the procedure aspects have been complied or not, and indeed such accounts needs to be closed or not, and then the account would get closed or the relationship would get terminated. Friends, now we enter the fourth element of KYC, that is risk management. When we talk about risk management, the topmost requirement is banks should, in consultation with their boards, devise procedures for creating risk profiles of their existing as well as new customers. When we talk of risk profiles, here again risk categorization becomes very important. Apply various anti-money laundering measures, keeping in view the risk involved in the transaction, account or banking business relationship. Customers should be categorized into low, medium and high risk category based on assessment and risk perception of the regulated entity. So these are the very, very important requirements of risk management. When we talk about risk categorization should be undertaken based on certain factors such as customer's identity, social financial status, nature of business activity, and information about the client's business and their location, etc., etc. Various information collected from different categories of customers relating to the perceived risk should be non-intrusive. So the information, as we have seen before, has to be related with the perceived risk, but this information cannot be intrusive information. What should the board of directors of the bank ensure? The board of directors of the bank should ensure an effective KYC program is put in place by establishing appropriate procedures and ensuring their effective implementation. It should cover proper management oversight, systems and control, segregation of duties, training and other related matters. Responsibility should be explicitly allocated within the bank for ensuring that the bank's policies and procedures are implemented effectively. So this is the basic obligation or responsibility of the board of directors to ensure that policies and procedures are in place for effective implementation of KYC. What is the role of internal audit and compliance functions of the bank? Because the board will make the policies, but who is going to check it? And here comes the important role of the auditors and the compliance officers. The concurrent and the internal auditors should specifically check and verify the application of KYC procedures at the branches and comment on the lapses observed in this regard, so that the lapses should be immediately rectified and this reporting will happen at the higher up. Compliance function should provide an independent evaluation of the bank's own policies and procedures, including the legal and regulatory requirements. So compliance will look more into the legal angles have been complied or not, the regulatory angles have been complied or not. The compliance should be put up before the audit committee of the board. So this is sufficiently higher committee because this is directly attached with the board of directors. And this reporting should be done on a quarterly intervals. Now friends, Up till now, we have seen various KYC norms, the four elements: customer acceptance policy, customer identification procedure, the monitoring of transactions, as well as the risk management. There was a period up to 1990s wherein this was very simple and easy to do, because most of the things, most of the banking activities, most of the banking transactions were done on a manual basis. But post 1990s, with the introduction of core banking solutions, the technology started driving the banking business, and most all transactions happened or started happening online. But due to the computerization of various banking systems, most of the transactions came under online real-time processing, and it started posing a new threat of technology. More and more technology risks started posing various sort of problems for the bank, and here there were responsibilities of the bank to take special measures so that these threats that are posed by technologies are either minimized or diluted. So we are going to see here what are the different new technologies that were introduced, like the credit cards, the debit cards, the smart cards, the gift cards, the mobile wallet, the net banking, mobile banking, RTGS, NEFT, ECS, IMPS, etc. These were the various new technologies that are introduced, and more such new technologies are going to come. Banks should pay special attention to any money laundering threats that may arise from new developing technologies, including internet banking, that might favor anonymity. Because the ultimate objective is to prevent money laundering. The ultimate objective of KYC is to stop financing terrorist activities. Banks should ensure that appropriate KYC procedures are duly applied before issuing the cards to the customers. It is also desirable that agents are also subjected to KYC measures, so no loophole is that kept open for allowing money laundering or financing terrorists. Now, having seen the impact of new technologies, different types of banking have emerged, especially correspondent banking. What do you mean by correspondent banking? Correspondent banking is a provision of banking services by one bank, that is a correspondent bank, to another bank, the correspondent bank. So it's from service of one bank to another bank, especially when that bank has no arrangement to actually service customer in a particular region. These services may include cash funds management, international wire transfers, drawing arrangements for demand drafts and mail transfers, payable through accounts, checks, clearing, etc. Banks should have a policy approved by the board or by a committee headed by a chairman, CEO, or an MD to lay down the parameters for providing correspondent banking relationship. So having seen what a correspondent bank is, we should know shell banks are not permitted to operate in India. And banks should also guard establishing relationship between correspondent foreign financial institutions that permit their accounts to be used by shell banks. Banks should be extremely cautious while continuing relationship with correspondent banks located in countries with poor KYC standards and countries identified as non-cooperative in the fight against money laundering and terrorist financing. So whenever a correspondent banking relationship is entered, should not be with a shell bank, and this precaution should be taken that whichever banking relationship is entered, whichever country, should not be identified as non-cooperative, specifically from the fight against money laundering, terrorist activities, financing terrorist activities are concerned. So then how to prevent misuse of a wire transfer? Basic information on the originator of the wire transfer should be immediately available to the appropriate law enforcement and or prosecution authority in order to assist them in detecting, investigating, prosecuting terrorists or other criminal and tracing their activities. Because that is the only source that will tell us money has gone from where, from who has sent it, to whom. So the basic originator information has to be quickly available. The originator information can be also be put to use by the beneficiary bank to facilitate identification and reporting of suspicious transactions to the FIU IND. Such information can be used by Financial Intelligence Unit India for analyzing the suspicious or unusual activities and disseminating it as necessary. Now we will specifically see what precautions to be taken in case of cross-border wire transfers as well as domestic wire transfers. Let us first understand what precautions to be taken in case of cross-border wire transfers. All cross-border wire transfers must be accompanied by accurate and meaningful originator information. Information accompanying cross-border wire transfers must contain the name and address of the originator, where an account exists, the number of that account, in the absence of an account, a unique reference number as prevalent in the country concerned must be included. In case of domestic wire transfers, what should be done? Information accompanying all domestic wire transfers of rupees 50,000 and above must include the complete originator information. If a bank has a reason to believe that a customer is intentionally structuring wire transfer to below rupees 50,000 to several beneficiaries in order to avoid reporting or monitoring, then the bank should insist on complete customer identification before effecting the transfer. So the customer cannot fool the bank by making small transaction. If the bank has any suspicion, bank can ask for identification details. In case of non-cooperation from the customer, efforts should be made to establish the identity and suspicious transaction report should be made to FIU IND, then the FIU IND may carry out further investigation. For this purpose, there are specific exemptions like interbank transfers and settlements where both the originator and beneficiary banks or financial institutions would be exempted from the above requirements. Friends, this KYC has a basis not only from stopping the antisocial elements, criminal elements, but also for combating financial terrorism. When we talk about combating financial terrorism or combating financing of terrorism, banks are advised to develop suitable mechanism through appropriate policy framework for enhanced monitoring of accounts suspected or having terrorist link and swift identification of transactions and making suitable reports to the Financial Intelligence Unit India on priority. Banks are required to screen or filter the names of all those accounts whom they are going to open an account, whether they belong to any terrorist link, whether they belong to the list that has been circulated by United Nations Security Council, and there are various lists which needs to be checked first before opening an account. And once these elements are identified at the entry level itself, this should be one major step for combating financing of terrorism or for eliminating financing of terrorism. So banks should scan all existing accounts to ensure that no account is held by or linked to any of the entities, individuals included in that negative list. Full details of accounts bearing resemblance with any of the individuals, entities in the list should be mentioned and immediately intimated to the Reserve Bank of India as well as to FIU IND. Banks must also take into account risk arising from deficiencies in the anti-money laundering or combating financial terrorism of certain jurisdictions. Now we move to another important aspect, selling third-party products, because banking landscape has totally changed. Banks are now no more selling their own products, but they are also selling third-party products. And when it comes to selling of third-party products, you also need to follow the KYC guidelines. Banks acting as agents while selling third-party products should comply with the identity and address of walk-in customers, should be verified for transactions above rupees 50,000. The transaction details of sale of third-party products and related records should be maintained. AML software capable of capturing, generating, and analyzing alerts for the purpose of filing the CTR/STR in respect of transactions relating to third-party products and customers, including walk-in customers, should also be available. When it comes to selling third-party products, banks acting as agent while selling third-party products should also comply with transactions involving rupees 50,000 and above should be undertaken only by debit to the customer's account or against check. It should not be cash transactions, and obtaining and verifying the PAN given by the account number as well as walk-in by the account holder or the walk-in customer should be done. It is not just updating, but verification of the PAN is also necessary. Instructions at D, that is transaction around 50,000 and above, should also apply to the sale of bank's own products, payment of dues of credit cards, sale and reload of preload, prepaid travel cards, and any other products for rupees 50,000 and above. So 50,000 and above is the cap wherein more enhanced due diligence needs to be taken. Now the next important, we are talking about products and services and all, but what about the employees who are hired by the bank? Whether any due diligence is required for employees or while hiring of employees? So let us look the provisions over this. Hiring of employees is one aspect. Training the hired employees is another aspect. Both aspects are equally important. KYC norms, AML standards, CFT measures have been prescribed to ensure that criminals are not allowed to misuse the banking channels. That is the very basis of KYC. All employees should be fully concerned and understand the rationale behind the KYC policies and implement them consistently. How so good the KYC policy, but if it is not implemented by the employees who are the basic entities who are going to implement it, the usefulness of KYC wouldn't be there. And hence, it is very essential for employees to not only understand it, but actually implement that in spirit for the success of KYC. Adequate screening mechanism as an integral part of the personal recruitment hiring process should be put in place. So here again comes two different angles, the aptitude and the attitude. The aptitude and the attitude of the employee has to be thoroughly checked before he gets an appointment in a bank. Banks must have an ongoing employee training program so that the members of the staff are adequately trained in KYC procedures. You may be hiring an excellent attitude and aptitude possessing employee, but you can't expect him to be a master in understanding the entire procedures as it is. And here comes the importance of training. Adequate training has been to be given to such employees who can first understand and then easily implement it. Training requirements should have different focuses for frontline staff, compliance staff, and staff dealing with new customers, because different type of angles are required while monitoring different types of customers. The front desk staff should be specially trained to handle the issues arising from lack of customer education, because when you educate your customer, many a times it is necessary to educate your employees and customers both. So first you educate your employees, and in turn you expect your employees to educate your customers also, and that is how the customer will willingly cooperate for implementing the ultimate objective of stopping money laundering, combating financial terrorism. So this is a complete chain of importance of hiring employees, training employees, and in turn these trained employees training the customers also. Now we come to a very important provisions under PMLA. A specific entity should exist with every financial institution, including a bank, and this specific entity is called as principal officer. Appointment of principal officer is very much important under PMLA. Every financial institution bank has to do, specifically for connecting with the FIU IND. Bank should appoint a senior management officer to be designated as principal officer. Principal officer should be located at head office, corporate office of the bank, and he is responsible for monitoring and reporting all transactions and sharing of information required under the law, and more specifically with the FIU IND. Principal officer will maintain close liaison with the enforcement agencies, banks, and other institutions which are involved in the fight against money laundering and combating of financial terrorism. The principal officer will be responsible for timely submission of the cash transaction report, the suspicious transaction report, as well as reporting of counterfeit notes to the FIU IND. And this has to be done in a time-bound framework. The next important responsibility of banks is to maintain records of transactions and information. Here again, there are specific time frames. Bank should maintain all necessary records of transactions between the regulated entity and the customer, both domestic and international, for at least a period of 5 years from the date of transaction. It's not only maintaining of records and transactions, banks are also responsible for preserving the records pertaining to the identification of the customer and their address obtained while opening the account and during the course of the business relationship for at least 5 years after the business relationship is ended. So the banks just can't say the account is closed, we don't have. Banks' responsibility is to preserve such information for 5 years subsequent to closing of relationship. Banks' responsibility is also to make available the identification records and transaction data to the competent authorities when required. These competent authorities can be regulatory authorities, so banks should be in a position to provide this information also. Now we will see the specific regulatory entity which has been created out of PMLA to whom specific reporting has to be done, and that is none other than Financial Intelligence Unit India. In short, it is known as FIU IND. Banks should furnish to the director, Financial Intelligence Unit India, information referred to Rule 3 of PML, Maintenance of Records Rule 2005. The director, FIU IND, can issue guidelines to the banks for detecting transactions to direct them and about the form of furnishing information and specify the procedure and the manner of furnishing such information. The reporting formats and comprehensive reporting guide prescribed, released by FIU IND and Report Generation Utility and Report Validation Utility, is developed to assist the reporting entities in the preparation of prescribed reports should be taken off. Delay of each day is in not reporting the transaction, or delay of each day in rectifying a misrepresented transaction beyond the time limit would be constituted as a separate violation. So it becomes the responsibility of reporting transactions, reporting information to FIU IND, and any delay will be considered as violation and may be subject to penalty. Banks should not put any restrictions on operations in the account where an STR has been filed. There is no point in stopping or restricting such accounts. Another important responsibility of a bank is banks should keep the fact of furnishing the STR information strictly in confidence. When we say strictly in confidence, banks should ensure that there is no tipping off to the customer at any level. Customer is not supposed to know that his information has gone to FIU IND. Robust software throwing alerts when the transactions are inconsistent with the risk categorization, appropriate profile of the customer should be put into use as a part of effective identification of suspicious transactions. Sometimes it may not be possible for an individual, for a banker to identify. But when you have robust softwares, they can run different scripts, they can run different patterns, and based on that, they can generate a report which can be useful for a banker to identify suspicious transactions. In the previous slides, we have been referring, banks should submit information to regulatory authorities. So a question comes in the mind, whether it would not be violating the confidentiality norms or the secrecy norms. So this has to be very clear. Secrecy obligation and sharing of information. Banks should maintain secrecy regarding the customer information which arise out of the contractual relationship between the banker and the customer. So that is the utmost duty and responsibility of a bank, to maintain the secrecy. While considering the request of data information from the government and other agencies, banks should satisfy themselves information sought is not of such a nature that will violate the provisions of law relating to secrecy in banking transaction. So even if a request is received, bank has to first understand whether it is going to violate such norms. But there are certain exceptions, and these exceptions are where the disclosure is under compulsion of law, where there is a duty to the public to disclose, where the interest of the bank requires disclosure, and where the disclosure is made with the express or implied consent of the customer. To accept these exceptions, banks should ensure that the secrecy and the confidentiality of the customer information has to be strictly adhered to. Now we have a new concept of CKYCR. This is Central KYC Records Registry, specifically created by the government. The CDD procedure and sharing KYC information has become very easy with the CKYCR. Banks should capture the KYC information for sharing with the CKYCR. Government of India has authorized the Central Registry of Securitization Asset Reconstruction and Security Interest of India, that is the CELSAI, to act as and to perform the functions of CKYCR so that the information is stored at a central repository. Now, the fraudsters are used to making some account to run as money mule. So let us see the provisions of operations of bank accounts and money mules. The instructions on opening of accounts and monitoring of transactions should be strictly adhered to in order to minimize the operations of money mules, which are used to launder the proceeds of fraud schemes by criminals who gain illegal access to the deposit accounts by recruiting the third parties which access money mules. So the only solution here is every banker has to adhere to the regulations, rules that are required for opening of account and monitoring of accounts. The instructions should be strictly followed. There should be no compromise on following any instructions of the bank. Yet another important concept related with KYC is collection of account payee checks. When we talk about collection of account payee checks, generally the fraud happens if the banker collects checks of those who don't have an account with them or the payee is someone different. These are specifically what we talk about, the third-party checks. Account payee checks for any person other than the payee constitute should not be collected. Banks should at their option collect account payee checks drawn for an account not exceeding 50,000 to the account of the customers who are cooperative credit societies. So these are exceptions. But the condition is the payees of such checks are the constituents of such cooperative credit societies. So this has a close linking only then. This sort of provision can be taken. Now we are on our final two slides, which speaks about cash transaction report and suspicious transaction report. When we talk about cash transaction report, these are specific cash transactions about 10 lakhs. And when we talk about suspicious transaction, these are typically unusual and complex transactions, which we have seen in a definition before. Let us see. Here we are talking about the reporting requirement, the time frame within which such cash transaction reports are to be reported to FIU IND. The cash transaction report for each month should be submitted to FIU IND by the 15th of the succeeding month. So whatever transactions that happened this month will be reported to the FIU IND by the 15th of the succeeding, means the next month. All cash transactions where forged or counterfeit Indian currency notes have been used as genuine should be reported by the principal officer to the FIU IND immediately. There is no time to be given for any more such scam to happen, for any more such forgery to happen. Hence, when it comes to reporting of forged or counterfeit Indian currency, it has to be reported immediately by the principal officer to the FIU IND in the specified format. All these are specified formats. CTR has a format. Same way, counterfeit currency report also has a format. These formats are designed by FIU IND for reporting. A summary of cash transaction report for the bank as a whole should be compiled by the principal officer of the bank in the physical form as per the format specified. So a summary is also required for such reports. Now let us see another important report that has to be submitted to FIU IND. This is suspicious transaction report. While determining the suspicious transaction, the bank should be guided by the definition of suspicious transaction and the PMI rules. We have already seen this in the previous slides. Bank should pay attention to all complex, unusual large transaction and all unusual patterns of transaction which have no apparent economic or visible lawful purpose. That should be the first signal, first trigger where the bank should get the suspicion. Bank should make STRs if they have reasonable grounds to believe that a transaction involves proceeds of crime, generally irrespective of the amount of transaction. So here the limit of amount is not important. Here the connection to the crime is very important. Now when This STRs has to be reported. The suspicious transaction report should be furnished within 7 days of arriving at a conclusion that any transaction, whether cash or non-cash or a series of transactions integrally connected, are of suspicious nature. The principal officer should report or record his reasons for treating any transaction or a series of transactions as suspicious. So, principal officer is a very important person from the bank's point of view, and he is also required to give his comment on what basis has he treated such transaction as suspicious. Bank should not put any transaction restrictions on operations in the account where an STR has been made. This we have already seen before. There is no point in putting restrictions. The customer will get alert. Moreover, it should be ensured there is no tipping to the customer at any level so that the FIUIN can carry out its own investigation without the customer involved in defacing the evidence. Thank you.